This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Just to be clear on this, you're okay with the president nominating somebody?
I think he's going to do it whether I'm okay with it or not. I think it's up to Mitch McConnell and everybody else to stop it. It's called delay, delay, delay.
Y'all ready for this?
The weakest person on this stage by far on illegal immigration is Jeb Bush.
So, you know, this is the standard operating procedure to disparage me. That's fine.
I'm going
to
spend a little more money on the commercials. 2 days ago, he said he would take his pants off and moon everybody. We should have never been in Iraq. We have destabilized the Middle East. They lied.
Okay.
They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none, and they knew there were none. There were no weapons of mass
destruction. Okay, all right.
And George W. Bush enforced what the international community refused to do. And again, he kept us safe. And I am forever grateful to what he did for this.
How did he keep us safe when the World Trade Center? The world. I lost hundreds of friends. The World Trade Center came down during the rain. He kept us safe.
Adults learn not to interrupt you.
Yeah, I know. You're in the
all right.
Oh, let's get ready to rumble, man. I think the rumbling's going to continue, guys. I mean, they really opened up, huh?
Yeah, boy, oh boy. And I don't know if you've seen, I just looked up the poll numbers, and Trump is still, even with all that booing, he's at 42% right now, according to the latest CBS poll. That's 22 points ahead of Ted Cruz at 20%. So,
well, we saw what happened in, you know, with these numbers. Of course, you know, they can tighten up, because it's one thing initially for the reaction, but then when it starts to settle in and some of this stuff gets a little wearing, you know, Donald Trump at points when he was talking, you know, and trying to blame George Bush for the downing of the Twin Towers, I started seeing tinfoil on his head. I go,
right.
You know, you start getting a little bit too far out there, you know, that I can't go there with you.
Yeah, well, like I said, it seems like he's somehow immune to the, you know, the problems with that, because his poll numbers are still way up. But I was thinking the same thing. I was kind of expecting this to really cut into his lead a little bit, you know, but apparently not.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it plays out. Of course, you know, Jeb was fiery. The general consensus is that Rubio won the debate, and, you know, he needed to come back, and I thought he did a great job. He and Cruz toe-to-toe, you know, speaking a little bit of Spanish, because, you know, it's a good line. He doesn't even speak Spanish. Well, he
comes back with some Spanish,
Yes, right. So I guess, you know, so they were just going, it was no doubt about it. The gloves were off, and they were toe-to-toe, because they're realizing that, you know, hey, it's starting to, you know, it's starting to clear itself up. So
starting to matter now,
Yeah, I don't know how John Kasich survives, though, or even Dr. Ben Carson. And I like Dr. Ben Carson. I like John. I think it's going to be between these three, and we'll have to see, you know, what happens between Rubio and Cruz is who's going to really take on Trump here. What do you think?
Well, yeah, the thing about Kasich is I actually thought he didn't do too poorly in the whole thing. And I think the reason I think that is because he was kind of the one guy up there that wasn't just ferocious, you know, and I think that looked kind of good on him, but my opinion,
well,
I guess.
Well, Carson the same way, but the deal is you know, you get lost in the shuffle. I mean, even if you want to come in and try to be the adult in the room and say, hey, is this crazy? I mean, that is, but Hey, everybody's got a pillow, man. You might as well get the pillow out and join the fight. Why not, huh? And, of course, everything was rather sobering because it started out with the Scalia announcement. But we're going to be talking about that with Bruce Kaufman coming up. Stay with us, America. It's 4 minutes after the top of the hour.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook. Supernatural Silver.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we got to do it one citizen at a time from the ground floor up, not top down. Top down is what got us into this mess, as we've been saying. Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Bill Martinez, and Bruce Kaufman is with us, award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. Bruce, always good to have you with us. Happy President's Day.
Happy President's Day to you as well, Bill, and to all your listeners.
Well, I got to say, the other night it was quite the battle there, and the tone, you know, they tried to keep it somewhat sober in the announcement of Judge Scalia's passing. And Bruce, I know this this stopped you in your tracks as it did mine, rather rather abruptly, to say,
yeah,
"Wow,
did,
what?"
I'm sorry. Yeah, it did, and for a personal reason, because I ran a magazine for about 12 years, and I was the editor in chief. And every magazine that you in business today has to have a lawyer that makes sure that whatever you publish, you can't get sued for. Mm-hmm. The guy who was my lawyer was Scalia's son-in-law, Mike Murphy. He was married mm-hmm. to Scalia's daughter. Mike was very Irish Catholic. Of course, Scalia's family was very Roman Catholic. They have seven kids, Mike and his wife, Mary. But he and I used to...
Was it seven or nine? I thought he had nine kids.
I'm sorry. Yeah, right. No. Mike has seven kids.
Oh, seven, yes. But Scalia has nine.
Yes, right.
And being a single child himself, so from a single child to nine kids, you know.
Right, so. Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, it came as a personal blow in that sense, because Mike and I would talk about Justice Scalia all the time and what a great man he was.
What a giant. I got to tell you, Bruce, if I can say this and just get this off my chest, I was just so annoyed that the president, who, you know, is not about to let any good crisis go abated, had to respond and had to just poke Republicans in the eye right away. He had to know this was going to be a firebrand, and it was like he was just licking his chops over the passing of this constitutional giant, a servant of the people, and all he could think about was, was his replacement.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing, though. I mean, the Republicans will say, and they're correct, okay, tradition says that no lame duck president ever appoints a Supreme Court justice in the last year of his presidency. Democrats will counter, well, Ronald Reagan did that with Anthony Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Republicans will counter, well, yeah, that's because the Democrats
threw it out.
Yeah, they threw out Robert Bork.
Yeah.
And they had, because Reagan appointed Bork, and the Democrats dragged that out and then refused to confirm Bork, so Reagan had no choice. The fact of the matter is, the Constitution says the president can appoint a Supreme Court justice any single time he wants during his presidency, but there is a tradition, and as you point out, Obama, it was pretty much licking his chops. I can't wait to add another Supreme Court justice to make sure that my progressive policies last longer wait once I'm out of office. And that's the thing, Bill. I've always looked – a great reason why I decide on one president candidate over another is whom they're going to appoint to the Supreme Court, because – and I think you and I have had this conversation before. Mm-hmm. Presidents come and go. Their policies come and go. The Supreme right. Court justices they appoint stay around a very long time. Scalia was around 30-plus years.
Exactly. Well, and I'll tell you, for his family and certainly – you know, the people that you knew, that you were close to in his family, you know, our prayers, you know, continue to be toward them, our sympathies, you know, what a loss to America, you know, in losing this constitutional giant in Antonin Scalia. And absolutely. I don't know how you replace him. You know, I'm often encouraged and think about, you know, the cream always rises and maybe there's somebody on the horizon that'll come up. But to lose somebody, you know, like Scalia at this point in time, is rather quite interesting. If this doesn't get America serious about this next presidential election, I don't know what will, Bruce.
Yeah, absolutely. And my one hope is that that people study Scalia. He is probably one of the two or three greatest writers that's ever been on the court. But he was also a lot of his minority opinions, where he knew, I mean, he was in the minority, the case wasn't going to go his way, but he would point out, I'm writing these opinions for people who are going to study my minority argument years down the line. And I'm hoping that there are a lot of people who are studying Scalia's logic. He was, as you know, Bill, he was the originalist. Okay, mm-hmm. He said that the Constitution, the language, whenever you're taking a case, you look at the language of the statute, but also you look at the language that was written and approved by the people in the late 1780s when they ratified the Constitution. What did they mean when they wrote that language into the Constitution? What was the original meaning? That
exactly.
was Scalia's whole basis of argument, that the Constitution does not evolve. It's not a living document. Okay, we don't interpret the Constitution based on the, you know, the challenges of today. We interpret the Constitution the way it was written originally, and that was a document of limited powers to the government and protections and rights to the people. This was Scalia's priority.
And Bruce, the thing to me that's so insulting is when you consider the time that was spent by the founding fathers. I mean, every letter that went into the Constitution, how it was debated, how they pondered it. They exercise themselves to no end, and then you get activist judges that come in all under the guise that, oh, no, this is a dynamic document. It's living and breathing, you know, which is what our president says, that it then becomes a matter of interpretation. And Judge Scalia was that sobering voice on the bench saying, wait, no, you guys got to go back and really study, you know, where, you know, what was the mind of the founding fathers? What was their intent? And this was nothing that was just done over a beer, you know, in a couple of meetings. This was painstakingly exercised. I mean, their commitment to draw up the Constitution the way in which they did, we're so in debt to them. We can't even comprehend it because we're so many generations away that it really takes a true study, which I believe Scalia did. And Scalia, you know, studied it, and I think he believed that he was on hallowed ground whenever he was, you know, interpreting the Constitution because of, you know, the blood, the treasure, the all the resources that went into formulating our U.S. Constitution.
No question. And here's the thing, Bill. This was one of Scalia's priorities, was that, okay, there's been a give and take between the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution forever. George Will pointed this out in a column he wrote on Scalia. Okay, the Declaration of Independence, its focus is on individual rights, our God-given, unalienable rights to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, freedom of speech, and so on. The Constitution, on the other hand, its focus is on majority rule. Okay, there are checks on that rule, but the Constitution is on majority rule. So Scalia said, okay, there's that debate between the two, individual rights versus what's good for the majority. But Scalia's focus was always on the fact that the job of the courts was to protect individual rights against the growing encroachment of majority rule, which is to say liberalism, progressivism, the new understanding of the Constitution as having all these powers given to the executive branch, to the administrative state, that I can run roughshod over the rights of the minority. Scalia's focus was always on the fact that the Declaration of Independence, okay, prevents majorities from abridging those natural rights that the Declaration gives us, the right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and so on. That was always Scalia's focus. I'm hoping, as you point out, that judges have studied that focus, and whoever is replacing him, hopefully in a Republican presidency, they will also focus on that.
Exactly. More from Bruce Kaufman on the other side of the break. It's 14 after, America.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're
back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I guess, Bruce Kaufman, that, Ted Cruz could have sang a little La Bamba and demonstrate to Marco Rubio. He knows how to speak, you know, a little bit of Spanish anyway, huh?
That was pretty funny, I have to admit. It took Rubio by surprise.
I know that was it was funny, but and I got to tell you, being Hispanic, that sometimes gets to be an issue, and even a wedge issue. And I was disappointed that Marco Rubio brought that up, because sometimes that's a disqualifier for people to say, well, you don't really even speak Spanish. Well, you know, some of us, I'm sorry, have been in this country for so long. I know, you know, for my dad, a World War II veteran, you and I have talked about him. And he was in the European theater at the Battle of the Bulge as a medic. And, he and my mom, it was about us assimilating. And it was more important for us to, be a part, a productive part of the culture. And, only a few of the kids, I mean, we had 10 kids in the family. I think only three of us are bilingual. But, I'll tell you, it is tough. If you don't speak Spanish and you're not fluent, you're less than. And that's an attitude and a problem even within the Hispanic community, is this less than mentality that, like I said, I was sorry that Marco Rubio brought it up that way.
I was too. I mean, I was too, but I thought he sort of got his comeuppance.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, to tie a little bit of a bow around this the Scalia situation here, Bruce, is that, I hope that we can find, the right guy that, but it's going to be contentious, between now and, we got 11 months. And to not have somebody in Scalia's place when you've got so many things before the court in March alone, something like there's 21 cases coming before the court.
Yeah, and that's kind of good and bad because, as you know, Bill, if it's a 4-4, then the lower court's decision stands.
Exactly.
And there are a couple of cases where if it's 4-4, that's going to be fine with us, you and me. There are a couple of cases where it's not. So we'll see. I mean, also keep in mind that, it has to go to the Senate. The Senate has advice and consent, but the Senate has consent, needs 60 votes to confirm a Supreme Court justice. And the last time I looked, the Republicans controlled the Senate. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Well, it's President's Day all over America today. Interesting time. You know, we talk about the founding fathers. Let's talk about our first president. And, of course, another pivotal president in Abraham Lincoln. You got George Washington Lincoln. Their presidential powers worldview, contrast it with the 21st century worldview.
Yeah, okay. My two favorite presidents, Washington and Lincoln. I think Lincoln's the greatest, but Washington's a very close second. In any event, from a purely executive power, Washington was critical. With the Constitutional Convention, everybody knew, there was a huge debate at the Constitutional Convention as to how much power to give the executive branch of the government. Most of the delegates did not want to give the executive branch any power at all because their last experience with an executive branch power was King George III. So it was only because George Washington, everybody knew he would be our first president, that they gave the executive branch any powers at all, because they knew that Washington was the one person who would be wielding that power, not because of self-interest, but because of the good of the whole. So he exactly. is the reason why there's any power at all in the executive branch. But also, they wanted Washington to be the first president because not everybody who followed him would be a Washington. Mm-hmm. Okay, another Washington. So they wanted him to set precedents that the other presidents would be hard-pressed not to follow. You would be hard-pressed not to follow the president, the precedents of your first president, the father of your country.
Exactly.
So that made sure. So Washington made sure. He made sure that the executive had power, but he made sure that the power the executive branch had was in congruence with the Constitution. He never issued any powers that were in violation of the Constitution. He did issue a couple of executive orders, but they were totally within the prescribed understanding of what an executive order was supposed to do. He vetoed two bills that Congress passed, one having to do with he thought that they were going to dismantle forts in the West against the Indian tribes, and he thought that was a national security problem. The other veto was because he thought it was clearly unconstitutional. Two vetoes in 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a guy who understood, what powers the president had and what powers he didn't have. and he made sure that he never issued any powers and violations of the Constitution. He was allowed, okay, Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution says he can recommend to Congress any legislation that he thinks is a priority. He never did it because that's Congress's job. Legislation is Congress's job. So he was our greatest president in the sense that he set all these precedents as to what powers a president could exercise and what powers a president could not because they violated the clear language in the Constitution. And every other president has to follow that. Not every of them obviously successfully has.
Well, Bruce, wasn't there also a push for Washington, even though it's like, let's get away from being a king? There were some people, they just admired him so much, they were willing to put a crown on his head.
They were. After the American Revolution, he would have been given kingly powers. And he said, no thanks, I'm going back to my home to resume my life as a gentleman planter, as a farmer. Mm. And that's why they trusted him with power, Bill, because this is a guy who could have had all the power he wanted, and he willingly gave it up. He said, I don't want that power. I want to just go back to my life. I mean, thanks, but no thanks, guys. I don't want to be another king. As he once said, I didn't fight against King George III so that I could become King George I.
Yes, exactly.
He did not. That's why we trusted him with power. That's why he was the one person that when the delegates are deciding on what powers to give the president, they knew they could give certain powers because Washington would be the first one to exercise them, and he would be setting a precedent that all the other presidents had to follow.
And like anything, the further away we get from that original precedent, the trajectory and it goes in such a way that we get further and further away from the mark. Abraham Lincoln.
Okay, here's the other. There's one example that I think perfectly illustrates the difference between Lincoln and our current president. They both have similar, they're facing similar issues in the sense that President Obama wants to give legal status to millions of people who are in this country illegally. Okay? Congress will not go along with that. So what does President Obama do? He issues a bunch of executive orders that takes an end run around Congress and an end run around the U.S. Constitution. Abe Lincoln had a similar problem. He wanted to give legal status to millions of people who were in human bondage, who were slaves. Okay? And during the Civil War, all these abolitionists are screaming at him, use your executive powers to free the slaves. Give them legal status. Lincoln said, excuse me, guys, the U.S. Constitution says that I need to decide that slavery is protected in the states that were then in existence during the Civil War, and I swore an oath to defend and preserve and protect the Constitution, so I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Yes, he issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which was a temporary freeing of the slaves for war reasons, mm-hmm. but he knew that the only way to free the slaves permanently was a constitutional amendment.
Exactly.
So he worked very hard to make sure that a month before he died, was assassinated, the 13th Amendment passed, freeing the slaves. So he followed the Constitution prescription. He made sure that he did exactly what the Constitution said he did. The one way to get rid of slavery, which was protected in the Constitution, was a constitutional amendment that changed the status, and that's what he did. So Lincoln is abiding by the Constitution. Barack Obama is doing an end run around the Constitution.
And it cost him his life.
Yeah, and it cost, that was one of the reasons it cost him his life, no question about it. But he was strictly in observing that the U.S. Constitution protects slavery, so I'm not allowed to violate the Constitution. I don't have the presidential power to do that. I can't issue executive orders that free the slaves. I have to abide by the Constitution, whereas our current president totally ignores the Constitution.
Well, he says he's a constitutional scholar, Bruce, and as if that's supposed to give him a get-out-of-jail card. But look, it's up to Congress, and if they're not going to fight and, take him to the mat on these things, he continues to run roughshod. It's no wonder our Constitution, you and I have been talking about this. We're heading into a constitutional crisis
as we go down the road.
About
the fact, Bill, that it's Congress's fault. They're willingly abdicating their powers.
Well, Bruce Kaufman, I'm Bill Martinez live. Happy President's Day, Bruce. Thank you so much.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens,
at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
You need, I follow, your hands on my tomorrow. Your grip, you know the way you guide me tenderly. You need, I follow, just light the way and I'll go. Cause I know what you got for me, it's more than I can see. So lead me on.
It's Bill Martinez Live.
Welcome back, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. We come to you Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 Eastern in over 270 markets across these United States and on shortwave now, so we're around the world. Hey, Paul Collins is with us. He's an expert on the Supreme Court and the topic of judicial politics, associate professor of political science, director of the Legal Studies Program at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. Paul, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks very much, Bill.
Well, appreciate you coming on and bringing some sober perspective, because the lines have been drawn rather rapidly. I was mentioning with Bruce Kaufman a moment ago, I was really disappointed with our president that instead of having a moment of repose and solemnity for a constitutional giant like Justice Scalia, I mean, it was like, let's bring it on. You know, it's almost like, you know, the boys had started our segment at the top of the hour about, are you ready to rumble? I mean, the president is like, you know, we haven't even buried the guy, and he's already taken off the gloves. He's slapped Mitch McConnell on the face with his glove and said, okay, it's duel time here.
Yes. Well, Obama certainly recognizes the importance of moving quickly on this in the face of a likely block by the Republicans in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and I talked about what the Republicans are going to do, what's the Democrats doing. I mean, clearly, they're lined up. I mean, they're all faced, you know, in an open field getting ready to blast one another. But, you know, there could be, and I think because of the contentiousness of what's going on, particularly in this presidential race, that there could be some sobriety here, and maybe we handle this, somewhat by perception instead of so overt.
Yeah, that's true. I think Obama's best strategy to try to get a nominee through would be to nominate a very, very moderate center sort of justice that the Republicans can live with. And that will basically force the ball in their court to decide to reject, you know, what I assume would be a very qualified nominee.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole issue is that we've never, we've never appointed a chief justice in the final year of an 8-year term of the president. Of course, they want to bring back. Well, that's not so. It happened with Ronald Reagan. Well, it's because the Democrats drug it out. And we know that. That's pretty well documented. But they don't want to remember that. These are the facts. If we can find somebody, especially in light, the argument the Democrats are going to have is, look at March. There's 21 major cases before the Supreme Court, and we need to have 9 justices there.
Yeah, that's the immediate impact of Justice Scalia's death is quite profound for the pending cases. I mean, the court has a particularly and somewhat unusually salient docket for a presidential election year, right? They're deciding cases on affirmative action, labor unions, immigration, abortion rights, redistricting, and a good number of those cases, if not most of them, are probably going to end up in 4-4 ties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then at that point, it just goes back to the lower court, right?
Yeah, so what the effect of that is that the court would uphold the lower court if they have a tie, but the case isn't precedential. That usually means that they're probably going to hear a very similar case sometime in the future. They also have another out that they can take, which they can vote to rehear a case, which is basically to postpone the case.
Mm-hmm. And that could very well happen as well. I mean, and as we know in the process is that, these decisions, or at least when they come before the court, they can come back. I mean, they can boomerang back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, it's interesting when you go back, I was looking, Washington Post, there was David Bernstein at the Washington Post had posted that to remind everybody that Dems in the Senate passed a resolution back in 1960 against election year Supreme Court appointments. So we're going to forget that history conveniently, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, if this was the reverse and this was happening with a Republican president and a democratically controlled Senate, I think we'd be witnessing the exact same thing happening. Instead of the Republicans threatening to block a nominee, if you had a Republican president and a Democratic Senate, they'd be doing the same thing. This is sort of politics as usual, given the importance of Supreme Court appointments.
And especially, replacing somebody like Justice Scalia, I mean, by no means a lightweight. You're talking about a constitutional giant, and at a time when there is this growing divide in our country, that supported the position of Justice Scalia, that he was an originalist. He didn't believe in the dynamic perception that the president believes in interpreting the Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, Scalia's death creates it elevates the importance of this appointment unbelievably, because what it does is provide President Obama with the opportunity to truly shift the balance of the Supreme Court. And so really any justice short of someone as conservative as Scalia, has quite a profound impact on the court. And even if Obama nominates a very, very moderate justice, and that's what I expect him to do, that will shift the balance. And so what you'd end up with is the 4 liberal-leaning justices, and then if he can get a moderate nominee through, a moderate justice who would now become the swing vote instead of Anthony Kennedy as the swing vote.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the arguments we hear, from hardline Democrats is that you can't pick a justice based on their ideology, as if you're supposed to think that it's always supposed to be 5-4. We lose a conservative, so let's replace them with a conservative. They're pushing back on any consideration of that thought.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the best strategy. I mean, Obama's in a tough place right now. Basically, I think his best notion would be to nominate a very highly qualified nominee who will at least be perceived to be moderate, and that will force the Republicans in the Senate to reject what many might perceive to be, a consent, a compromise pick, which might make them look bad, and it's not a good idea to anger the American public in a reelection year.
Well, in either case, the Republicans are in a tough situation once again, and whether or not they have the courage to really stand the ground on this issue and fall on their sword, you know, in this particular case, for a conservative justice, and really hold the line and wait until this next president is elected, like you say, with all hope and prospect that it's a Republican, not a Democrat.
Yeah, they're playing a game of chicken that has pretty severe consequences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, this could be all on them. I mean, it just seems that the nature of the media to pigpile against the Republicans, here we are, deja vu all over again, and the media is already looking to blame, you know, the Republicans for, you know, for the gridlock, this, you know, and for stopping the government and, you know, all these other things associated with the negativity. But interestingly enough, it's all those things that the Republicans have gotten blamed for that have contributed to $19 trillion in debt.
Yeah, I mean, this is, if nothing else, I hope that this, the current issue that's going on with the replacement for Justice Scalia, it really illustrates that this is a very, very political process. And, you know, today the Republicans are facing the blame. But as I said, if the shoes were on the other feet, the Democrats in the Senate would be doing the same thing.
Oh, no question.
As a Republican president.
Paul, who do you think, if you were king, who would you present?
Sri Srinivasan. I think he's the way to go. So he is a judge on the Court of Appeals. He's very moderate. He clerked for Justice O'Connor. He was in the George W. Bush Justice Department. He was in the Solicitor General's office with Obama. He's well respected by Democrats and Republicans. And most importantly, he was confirmed 97-0 4 years ago. And that included support from Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and Mitch McConnell. It's going to be very, very difficult to reject a nominee like that.
Yeah, if he's the one that comes up, and his name has been coming up repeatedly. Paul Collins, expert on the Supreme Court and judicial politics, has been with us on Bill Martinez Live. Paul, thank you so much for your perspective. 19 minutes before the top of the hour, stay right where you are, America. We've got more coming up right after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of Happy and Healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Getting America back on track.
It's a lie!
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Bill Martinez, live.
All those words, how they echo today, self-responsibility. And, you know, us, if we're going to get this country back on track, it's all hands on deck. It is, I believe, the big dreams that have been lying dormant that are inside so many Americans being allowed to be unleashed, which is a blessing to them, their families, and, you know, the communities at large. This is what gives me hope for America, ladies and gentlemen, is that I know that it's there. It's just that it's been handcuffed. And we've got to, as we say, free the slaves. And don't think that that's just a black issue. There's Hispanic, there's whites. Blacks, you know, every color is being enslaved right now by this government in order to control us, and you wonder why we're on the wrong track. But yet seven out of ten of us agree we're on the wrong track. It's just about 13 minutes before the top of the hour. I've been looking forward to this conversation with Karen Leland. She's the president of Sterling Marketing Group, a branding and marketing strategy and implementation firm. And we're going to talk about the branding of the presidential candidates that are out there. Karen, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, great to have you on. I appreciate your perspective in your article here about three ways voters assess a candidate's brand. And a brand is something that we look to know what we're going to get, what we can count on. And sometimes, you know, you get buyer's remorse because you find out that what was being presented to us, the brand just doesn't have the substance. But I believe that voters are getting wiser, and in this information age that we're in, we can drill down a little bit deeper to make sure that we minimize this buyer's remorse, can't we?
Well, we can, and just remember that we live in an age where people can say, I said this or I didn't say this, and it's super easy within a five-second search on the Internet to find out, did they really say that or didn't they? Mm-hmm. So the reality check that can be done on what people are claiming and what candidates claim is never been higher at any time in our history.
And the other thing that we have to watch is and be sensitive to is because the culture has become so dogmatic that we'll drink the grape juice regardless. And that's what we have to be careful of, because if we're really going to get the change that we want to believe in and that is substantive, we've got to step out and maybe evaluate those things that we really believe in. Do we really believe in them because they're substantive, or are we doing it just because, because of the fiery contestation of our culture?
Well, and I think that's a really excellent point. And I think there's two ways to look at that. One is that just because you say it loudly, i.e. Donald Trump, loudly and with a lot of fervor, doesn't make it true. That's one thing. And I think people need to start questioning what's really true and not true on any candidate's part, by
exactly.
the way. So saying it the loudest and the most fervent doesn't make it true. And then the other part of it is that, you know, people tend to say these things like they're an assumption, but they're saying them like they're a fact. And I think we have to do a much better job as voters at separating out what a candidate says, again, on either side of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, what their assumption is versus what's actually factually accurate. You know, I think it was Colbert who jokingly called it truthiness at one point.
Exactly. Right. Well, Karen, I think that maybe the electorate needs to get together and at least figure out what kind of government do we want? What kind of government can we afford? You know, our president has presented a budget this year. We're already $19 trillion in debt. And says, okay, we're going to do a $4 trillion government size. Well, wait a minute. You know, we don't need the convertible Rolls Royce right now. We need to scale it back. But he has determined that $4 trillion is the size of government that we need. And somehow, doggone it, we're going to pay for that. And we, the people, need to get together and understand what size of government, outside of these politicians, what size of government can we afford in the way we run our households?
Well, Bill, I think that's absolutely right. And if you look at it, you know, I mean, I'm a business consultant. I've been, you know, a management or a marketing consultant for 30 years. You know, what you would do is you would sit down and you would say, where are we? What are our objectives? What can we afford? What's our capacity? And what's our plan to get there? And it's this very similar thing. We need to really get practical in government about where we are and what we need to do and what it's going to take to get there. Yeah. And that's what's been missing, in my opinion. That's what's been missing in large part.
Well, I agree with you. Yeah, because the people from the top, this political elitist class somehow is devoid of any kind of budget and accountability. You know, you have a president that's pushing green energy, and I'm saying, okay, that's fine. Where's our return after two decades of investment, and particularly in his 8 years? I mean, let's talk about Solyndra. He takes a $500 million of the people's money invested in a company on one hand, and the next minute he allows the Chinese to come in and underbid that investment and evaporates a $500 million, and it's like, hey, not a problem. Well, in the world I come from, Karen, if any CEO did that, he wouldn't be a CEO very long.
Yes, and I agree and I understand that. But just to be totally fair and balanced, to quote
okay.
Fox,
okay.
To be totally fair and balanced, you know, when Bill Clinton was president, we had a surplus. You know, so it's. I don't think this is so much a Republican and Democrat issue, honestly. I don't think it matters. I honestly, personally, don't think it matters if our next president is a Republican or a Democrat from that point of view, from what you're saying. That's a function of Congress really getting aligned and the people really making known what they want and Congress getting aligned. That's not a function of whether we have a Democratic or a Republican president next, in my opinion.
Well, and I think that there's validity, and I understand your perspective on that, Karen. I don't disagree with that. But again, that's where I go back to saying the people need to decide before all these stories that are coming up and all these promises, what kind of government are we looking for? And I don't think overall the people have an idea. It's the tail shaking the dog. I mean, last time I checked, the three most powerful words in our Constitution is we the people, which puts the responsibility on us. We have the government that we vote in because we just have ignorantly gone along and done the same thing, which is that old saying, you know, of insanity, right? So we continue to reproduce the results and the actions that produce this craziness of a bloated government. But, you know, I don't know, we've got off on this other track here, and I wanted to talk about, you know, the branding of these candidates. And you and I were talking before about Bernie Sanders' brand. I mean, this is unbelievable. Usually it takes a number of years for somebody to establish a brand, and Bernie Sanders has done this quite rapidly.
Well, you know, Bernie Sanders actually had a very well-established brand for a long, long time. It's just it was in a narrow field with a small group of people. What he's done is take a consistent brand that he's had for years, and he's just expanded his sphere of influence with that same brand. What's been amazing is how quickly he's been able to expand that sphere of influence with his brand. That's what I have found incredible, especially among young people.
Why are the young people buying into him?
Well, I think they're buying into him for two reasons. I think one thing is he's representing interests that they have and things that they're concerned with. Education, what education is costing them, you know, number one. Healthcare. I think he's speaking to things that they're concerned about, number one. I think number two, as strange as it may seem, he's very relatable to them. You know, he may be relatable in a grandfatherly way, but
right.
he's speaking to a lot of what the values of these millennials have. And, you know, it's funny. I was at a dinner the other night with some clients, and most of them, I'd say all, pretty much all of them are Republicans. And we were talking about the elections, and they were all telling me how much they vehemently dislike Hillary Clinton. And, you know, I'm always interested in this thing. I always am taking a step back and looking at this from an analytical point of view because of what I do for a living.
Right.
And, but they, at the same breath, they all said, even though they disagreed with his politics, how much they liked and respected Bernie Sanders. Because he's been consistent in his brand throughout the years, in his message. Mm-hmm. And I think part of what young people are responding to with Sanders is they're responding to his authenticity. And how he has consistently said the same thing over and over again for years.
Right. Well, you mentioned that he's relatable, you know, to this group. You know, the two critical issues of his, you know, of his brand and why it's been growing. The third thing I would say, and I mentioned this to you earlier, is that Hillary has handed him a lot of brand capital, hasn't she?
She has absolutely handed him brand capital. I've been actually surprised at how she's been positioning herself in this race. It's a little bit like your mother wagging her finger at you. And by the way, I haven't decided on which side of the aisle I'm voting for or who I'm voting for, but I will say that just to be objective about it, I think Mrs. Clinton has a lot of strong suits. She's smart. She does her job well. She knows her stuff. She's very competent. But her particular way she's positioned herself in terms of her brand has been a little finger waggy. And, you know, and she's allowed Sanders to generate that narrative in terms of the whole progressive thing. And I think the worst mistake she made was jumping horses and going, well, I'm a progressive too, because she's really not. I think she was better off sticking with the strength of her message and her brand. And so she's allowed him to generate that narrative. And I think that was a huge mistake. You know, we always have the saying, you can't change brands midstream.
Right, exactly. Well, it's like you because you got to start all over again, and the people don't know what to count on. And as you say with Bernie, you know, like when you go to McDonald's, you know what the hamburger is going to be like. It's been consistent for how many decades now, and that's what makes their brand so so strong, as the people know what they're going to get. And with Bernie Sanders, call him a socialist, call him whatever you want, they know that the burn is there, right?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that, you know, and again, I think one of the things that you see is that can work both ways. You know, Donald Trump is another good example of someone who just basically has not changed his brand ever. I mean, as far as I can tell, watching him, he's the same on his reality TV show as he is as a presidential candidate.
He has not changed, no doubt about it.
He has.
Karen Leland, president of the Sterling Marketing Group, has been our guest. Three ways voters assess the candidate's brand. Karen, thank you so much. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.